we're back with another edition of the American Cattleman Podcast. My name is Dustin Hector, and I'm thankful you're joining us today. Just ahead, we have Gail McKinney, and he's the publisher of the American Cattleman, and he sits down with Dr. Robert Wells, the Senior Regenerative Ranching Advisor for the Noble Research Institute. Throughout the conversation, Dr. Wells will share both his personal and professional backgrounds, as well as the background and development of Noble's Business Essentials course. They'll also discuss ranching as a lifestyle versus a business. What a great interview, and we hope you enjoy it. Before we get too much further, we wanted to share a quick word from our sponsor, the official hat company of the American Cattleman, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery.
It's way more than just a hat. It's a piece of American tradition. We're talking about Shorty's Cowboy Hattery, the finest handmade hats in the country. Founded by National Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame, Lavona Shorty Coger. For over 30 years, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery has covered the heads of rodeo stars, music stars, working ranch cowboys, and folks that just want to look like one. Shorty's hats remain world famous and are sought after for their attention to detail, intricate sewing process, and signature beaver fur and beaver fur blends. You gotta get you one or two. Visit shortyshattery.com because you deserve the best.
Before I kick this over to Gail, I wanted to share a quick tidbit of information from the industry. On April 9th, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association criticized the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Agriculture Statistics Service's decision to cancel the July cattle report and discontinue the county estates from crops and livestock, among other changes. These reports provide critical data, and the decision to end them is completely misguided. It is disingenuous for the same agency which touts its commitment to transparency in livestock markets to arbitrarily cease publication of reports which provide just that. While it may be politically expedient to blame appropriators in Congress for today's decision, cattle producers know better than to believe discontinuing a handful of reports will result in cost savings for the department, said NCBA Vice President of Government Affairs Ethan Lane. NCBA calls on USDA NASS to immediately reverse this decision and continue delivering on its stated mission of providing timely, accurate, and useful statistics in service to the U.S. agriculture. That's enough for me for a minute. Before I pass this over to Gail, we have a quick word from our sponsor, Rawhide Portable Corrals.
We understand cattle. That's why the world's first hydraulic corral just keeps getting better. Our system is simple, flexible, and durable, built to keep your cattle operations easy and trouble-free. All the best features of a portable system with unmatched customer service is why Rawhide is often imitated, never duplicated. The Rawhide Portable Corral.
Now here is Gail McKinney.
Thank you, Dustin. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the American Cattleman Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Gail McKinney, publisher of American Cattleman, and I'll be your host today. Today's guest is Dr. Robert Wells, a senior regenerative ranching advisor for the Noble Research Institute. Robert, welcome to the American Cattleman Podcast.
Glad to be here.
Robert, we're going to discuss the Noble Business Essentials Program here in a few minutes, but first, let's just learn a little bit more about you. I was looking at your bio, and it says you've got a family farm down there, diversified livestock in eastern and southern Oklahoma, southern Texas, and graze cattle, goats, and horses. So it sounds like you're busy.
Yes, sir. I have a job away from the job.
What's your educational background, Robert?
Oh, well, I guess we could say we started off attending the School of Hard Knocks growing up on a diversified crop and livestock operation down in deep South Texas, learning from my dad and my family on the family operation. But then I decided I wanted to go on and achieve bigger things than being on our family operation. And there just wasn't room enough, as happens many times with all the family members. So I kind of did a tour of some of the great universities in the Southern Plains states. This is what I tell people, and usually chuckle a little bit about that. I got my bachelor's degree at Stephen F. Austin State University in East Texas in animal science. I got a master's degree under Rod Preston at Texas Tech University and specialized in ruminant nutrition there. And then from there, I wound up going and spending some time up in what I call the cold country up in Illinois. worked on my doctorate up there at the University of Illinois, where I specialized in ruminant nutrition and beef cattle management. While I was there, I worked full-time for the university for almost 8 years as the beef cattle research coordinator. I coordinated the research activities of three research stations across the state. In doing so, I helped manage about 1,000 head of cows and anywhere from a few hundred to several thousand head of feeder cattle. While I was there, I was involved in everything from physically doing the AI work of the cows annually to negotiating grids with packing plants and collecting the carcass data and samples and everything in between. So it was a jam-packed almost 8 years spending that time in Illinois.
Hands-on experience.
Yes, very, very much so. Very applied.
And then how did you find your way to Noble?
I've been at Noble for 18 years as a livestock consultant, but now my new title is Senior Regenerative Ranching Advisor. After college, I moved back to South Texas where I helped out on the family operation, but I heard about a great opportunity that was available here at Noble through some friends and through a university professor who was really influential in my early career. And I was fortunate enough to make it through the selection process, and the hiring committee selected me from a pretty large applicant of field of applicants.
Everyone, I'm here today with Dr. Robert Wells, and he's with the Noble Research Institute, which is the nation's largest agricultural research organization, and they're dedicated to regenerating 164 million acres of U.S. grazing lands. A big goal, a big task. Robert, can you provide us with the background for the development of the Business Essentials course that we're going to talk about?
Sure. But before we do that, we probably have to start out with our transition to the sole focus of regenerative ranching that the Noble Research Institute has undergone in the last 4 or 5 years. I've never worked with a producer who didn't say, I want to make my property better than what it was when they found them. Every producer inherently wants to do that. But every producer has a different vision of how to get there. And so in order to be able to meet our goal of that 164,000 acre or million acres of grazing lands, we had to change up the way we do things. So instead of just giving a producer the answer, we felt it was better to give the producer the tools in order to answer those questions and to meet their goals and those unique challenges that come up on the ranch every day. So in order to give them those tools, we decided that we wanted to teach them the principles of regenerative ranching. And, you know, that goes into the business side of things as well. You know, we can teach you, you know, what to do and how to do it, but that only goes so far. It's kind of the same philosophy from the Bible. You know, let's teach a person how to fish rather than just giving them the fish. And so that conveys not just on the principles of land management or grazing management or animal management, but it also conveys to how do you run the business of the ranch as well. You can be the best pasture manager, the best livestock manager out there, but if your business acumen is subpar, you're probably still going to go out of business. So all your hard work then goes unnoticed, because if you have to sell the ranch or you have to revert back to old ways of doing things from family pressure or whatever, the banker's pressure or whatever, then it's all for naught. So the business side of it goes hand in hand with the grazing and the land management, the land regenerative side of it, that it complements each other. And we want to be able to teach those producers those foundational business skills that are necessary to run that business.
It makes a lot of sense. How in general is regenerative agriculture being accepted?
So that's a great question. It runs the gauntlet from, you know, and it's mostly knee-jerk reactions, to be honest. A lot of folks don't understand what regenerative really means. But when you sit down and have the opportunity to break it down and explain what regenerative is, it's almost 100% ubiquitous approval. You know, when you tell people you know, we're just being good land stewards. We're going to take care of the land. We're going to shut a gate, and we're going to allow that plant to have opportunity to rest and recover before we turn back in on it, so that that pasture becomes stronger and healthier and more vibrant and more diverse. And in doing so, that makes our livestock stronger and healthier and more vibrant. When you explain it that way, I've never had a producer that says, oh, I don't want to do that. Every one of us is on board. How can I and when can I get started? And what is it that I need to do differently than I'm already doing?
Sure. Robert, another thing on the website that I was really interested in, it said ranching as a business, not just a lifestyle. And Noble Business Essentials, our trusted advisors help you evaluate the financial decisions and investments for maximizing profits. You know, I've always heard the quote, ranching is not just a business, but a lifestyle, which is also a true statement. Kind of go into that a little bit and how you're flipping that.
You know, that's really true. It, we all look at ranching as a lifestyle. We could have gone into other occupations that probably paid more and maybe not as hard on our bodies. But, I would say that ranching is one of the few occupations that we work where we live and we live where we work. And that's even true today with more and more people working remotely. Ranching gets in our blood. You know, it's truly a labor of passion, and it is that lifestyle. However, we've got to treat it as a business. We love everything that there is about ranching, the gifts, working with those gifts that Mother Nature gives us, and being outdoors. But at the same time, we've got to do due diligence. We've got to be we got to have that time where we sit down behind a computer or in front of a tablet, if that tablet's electronic or if it's the old fashioned pen and paper, and we got to keep some notes and we got to keep some records and we got to do some figuring, because if we don't, with the volatility of today's markets, with the increasing pressure that we have from regulations, with increasing volatility that we have in weather, down here in Southern Oklahoma, I jokingly have said for years, but it seems more prophetic now, that we're in a perennial drought punctuated by brief periods of floods. So how do we navigate through those things? How do we ensure that we can stay in business? And, for me, my goal is I want to pass my ranch and my legacy from my previous generations, my dad and my grandpa, my great grandpa, I want to pass that on to my girls. And how do we do that if we're not successful? And we can measure success in lots of different ways. One is, how good does our pastures look? How good does our cattle look? But ultimately, what really matters, and if you talk to your banker, he'll say this is the only thing that matters, but I would say I'd argue. That there's lots of things that do, but how healthy is your checkbook? I once heard somebody tell me that somebody who's barely getting by doesn't have the luxury and the time to be able to think about good land stewardship. And unfortunately, that's somewhat true. That if you're just barely getting by, you're trying to figure out what's the next thing that you can do just to keep the doors open and keep the gates open. So if we can be more profitable, that allows us the luxury of starting to think bigger and starting to think, what am I doing to this land? How can I improve it? Because I once had a rancher tell me that he doesn't own the land, and he has about 20,000 acres. And I looked at him with a puzzled look on my face, and he says, no, he said, I don't own this land. He said, I'm merely borrowing it from future generations. Hmm. And that really was prophetic, and it hit me, because that's true. We're on this earth for just a snapshot in time. What we do to the land that we have the fortune to steward, that's our legacy, and that's what's going to live on. But in order to do that right, we also got to be able to make money at it, and because that money helps us become better stewards.
Yeah, it sure does. That's very prophetic. It's sometimes to have a good lifestyle, you do. You have to have a profitable business. And, that's so true. I look back at the 80s and, I'm a product of that time period in farming when we lost a generation of farmers. And, we were fence row to fence row, and we honestly didn't. we didn't think about the land and the repercussions. And so you're just so right.
You know, yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you think about it, if you take the total dollars of assets that we have tied up in ranching, from the land to the rolling stock to the livestock, you know, it's going to be, even a small operation is going to be in the high six figures. You know, a medium size is going to be in the seven figures pretty easily. If you were to take that same money and invest it in a business in town, most people wouldn't run their ranch the same way that they run a business in town. You know, and then you have, you know, that return on investment. You know, how many people have you heard say, oh, good luck in making money in ranching? You know, ranching's a money losing business. I once heard, you know, the old joke of, you know, how do you make a small fortune in the ranching business? Well, you start with a large one and you stay at it long enough, you'll have a small one. You know, in ranching, you know, we look at it and say, you know, a lot of folks say, you know, hey, if our return on investment's 2 or 3%, we're doing great.
Yep.
But if you had that same money invested in a stock in town and you're only getting 2% or 3% annually on your rate of return, you would be thinking, man, this is a dismal investment.
Yeah, you'd be selling pretty quick.
Yeah. So why, you know, what can we do differently to make ranching where it's more profitable, but at the same time, reduce our stress? And as one of my cohorts calls it, make it more exciting. And, you know, that's not because it's market volatility, exciting because it's, you know, we're making more money and it's more successful and it's less stress.
Well, that leads us right into to the course. And you've identified five basic principles, I think, for ranching and for profitability that are the cornerstones of your program. Can you kind of talk through each one of those principles a little bit, and then we'll just lead right into the course itself?
Sure. So the first one is, you know, how do we implement easy record keeping? So you know where you stand. You know, it's real easy, and it can be almost too easy sometimes to record data on everything. And, you know, I jokingly say that, you know, we could record the length of the cow tail switch, but what's that telling us? You know, there's data that we should spend our time on recording that information from a production side of things, of the data to the financial side. And so the course is going to help you kind of figure out what is it that's important to record, and what's you know, what's needed and what's nice to have and what's really not needed. You know, spending my career as a livestock consultant, you know, I always told people, you know, if you want to capture a birth weight, go for it, great. But don't get run over by the cow in doing so, because as long as we got a live calf on the ground, that's all that matters. You know, if record those at the extraneous, you know, the you know, those outside, you know, the really, really small ones or the really, really big ones. But there's a lot more things that are important to record. And so the course is going to help you with that. Number two is building budgeting tools to simplify planning and forecasting. And, I ask a lot of producers quite often, you know, did you ever sit down and write a budget for your cow-calf operation? Or how'd you know to do a stocker operation? Or how'd you get into pasture poultry or pasture swine? And usually it's, well, that's, I kind of thought it would be fun to do that. Or that's where my knowledge is. That's where I grew up doing. Not many people actually have sat down and done a budget. And, you know, those budgets can help you really understand where your profit centers are and where your cost centers are and where you're bleeding and where you're making a little money. The third one is defining metrics to track profitability. So probably the first one that we want to teach people how to do is create a net worth statement. That's an easy thing to do. And we look at it two different ways. There's a net worth of the business, and then there's your personal net worth. And really the business is a subset of your personal net worth. We focus on the net worth of the business because, you know, if you have outside ranching income or other ventures, that's great, but we're focused on the ranch. And so we're going to help you develop that net worth statement for the ranch, so you can track that from year to year. Is your net worth growing? And is it growing at a rate that you feel comfortable with? We'll help you look at ratios, and there's a whole host of them. We'll narrow it down to those that are probably more meaningful, like debt to asset, your current ratio, or the rate of return on equity, your net farm income to total debt or financial efficiencies. And then we're going to help spotlight your most and least lucrative enterprises, because we all have those. If you got just cow-calf operation and you wean your calves, how many times do you just look at that together? Really, those are two different enterprises. And some years that weaning operation can make you a little more money than others. Or, if feed prices get real high, hay prices get real high, we're in a drought situation, maybe preconditioning is not the right thing to do that year for you. And it may be different than your neighbor based upon what are those financial metrics that are directly particular to you. So we'll help you do an enterprise analysis and help you learn how to do that. The last one is optimizing livestock and natural resource profitability. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to help you figure out what's the right mix of enterprises that you should have on your ranch. If it's cow-calf, if it's stocker, if it's pastured poultry or pastured pork, or if it's a hunting enterprise or an ecotourism. But the other thing is when you start doing that, you got to think about the people resources. Do you have the time to commit to that? Do you have the knowledge to commit to that? And then does it cash flow? It may work on paper, but if it financially just doesn't work because you don't have the financial resources, well, that's a great academic exercise, but can we make it cash flow and work throughout the year? So those are some of the things that we're going to help you kind of understand through this first course.
So let's look a little bit from the student's perspective then, as we're maybe asking them to sign up and get into the courses. So can we go through kind of the class format and then the length of the program and that investment of time that's going to be needed by that student? And then let's get into the costs a little bit of tuition.
Sure. So the class format for this session particular educational program is going to be in person. We're going to have classes coming up this year in 2024, we'll have five classes, one in June in Ardmore, Oklahoma, June 13, 14, August 13, the 14th in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Then from there, we're going to go straight north to September 24th and 5th to Lincoln, Nebraska. Then we're going to come back to the Southwest in October 8th and 9th to Santa Fe, New Mexico. And then we'll wrap up the year down south, November 13th and 14th in Waco. The class is going to be a two-day class. We've designed it and spent a lot of time with an instructional designer to help us be more learner-centric than we've ever been before. And so what we're doing is we're building in what we call tabletop activities with almost every lesson. And that's to apply what we just taught you and what you just learned. It's also designed to get the meeting attendee, get them up, get them moving, keep their brain engaged, keep the blood flowing, so that way you don't doze off. Because let's be honest, business may not be the most exciting thing for everybody. But so we've built in these lessons and these activities to help the producers kind of really apply what we just helped them learn. And the lessons are designed to be 45 minutes to an hour in length throughout that course, that 2 days. And of course, we'll give an ample amount of time for the producers to get to know each other in there. We want to build community within that course. So that way, when you leave there, you know somebody that maybe he's, just one town over or one county over that can be that sounding board or that resource to help give you assurance, down the road.
Is there any limitation on class size?
So the class sizes are going to be kept to 40 or less. Historically, they've been less than that. We want to keep it where it's easy for the two facilitators, the two teachers there, to be able to get around to everybody and to learn everybody's name so the producer can really feel like that they have been involved.
That's great. And then I may have missed this, but are students then responsible for their own travel and lodging?
Yes. So it is a two-day course, so that it will take at least 2 days. Now, depending on how far you are from one of our meeting locations, we'll start the course about 8:30 in the morning, and we'll wrap up around 5:30 in the afternoon. So, if you're close enough, you can, of course, go home over the evening.
Sure.
If not, you're going to have to take care of your own transportation and lodging. The cost of the course itself is $395. And I would venture to say that any producer they'll fully recover that $395 in spades if they take home just one or two of the activities that we'll teach them. They'll make that money back in being more efficient with their operation or more effective managers of the business side of things.
Robert, just a great education program for producers, and what we all need and all want is better profits so we can live that better lifestyle. And You know, how do folks register? What's some contact information so we can get people signing up?
So they can go to our website at www.noble.org. From there, just scroll down just maybe a half a scroll on your mouse or one finger flick on your finger if you're doing it from a mobile device. And then look for the link there to the Noble Business Essentials course and then follow the prompts and we'll get you signed up.
Sounds great. Robert, thank you. And thanks to our partners at Noble Research Institute. This is a great thing and very interesting. Thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed the opportunity to discuss the new program. I'm pretty excited about it because even though I spent 18 years as a livestock consultant, I've always said that we have to be more serious about running our ranches, and we need to treat our cows like employees. They've got to pay for themselves and then pay back the owner of the ranch in order for us to be successful. And this course is going to help us learn how to do that.
Thank you, Robert. Great thoughts. Everyone, that's Robert Wells, a senior regenerative ranching advisor for the Noble Research Institute. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the American Cattleman Podcast. Please tell your neighbors and friends about us. Take care.
A special thanks to Dr. Robert Wells from the Noble Research Institute for taking time to sit down with us today. Also, special thanks to our sponsors, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery and Rawhide Portable Corrals. We hope you enjoyed your time with us. For more information or to listen to previous episodes, visit our website, www.americancattleman.com, or check us out on social media simply by searching American Cattleman. The American Cattleman Podcast is produced by the American Cattleman Magazine. And that's it for today, folks. Until next time, make sure the gate is always closed.